It's been a long time since men in suits displayed press cards in their hat bands. Even without the visual aids, it used to be easier to determine who was a working journalist versus an interested observer with a notebook, and you could substitute for notebook, laptop, or smartphone, or any one of a number of tools in today's world. With the weakening of traditional media and a much more scattered internet media landscape, it's harder to place a clear definition on what constitutes a journalist, especially when it comes to things like who gets to cover executive sessions of public bodies like city councils and planning commissions. The Oregon Government Ethics Commission is mulling the issue now, with the topic on the agenda for a commission meeting in 2 weeks. We get the opinion from the journalist side today from Stover Harger III, who is the president of the Oregon chapter of SPJ, the Society of Professional Journalists. Stover, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Jeff.
Tell us a bit about yourself and in your own background as a journalist.
Well, you know, I started out the traditional route. I was a college journalist at Portland State. I did the weekly papers. I did internships, some paid, some sadly unpaid. And then I kind of worked up. Right now I'm working as a reporter at the Columbian in Vancouver, Washington.
And how long has the Society of Professional Journalists been in existence, either nationwide or in Oregon?
Longer than any of us have been around, that's for sure. It's the oldest journalist association in the country.
And is this, I have to believe that this is, it's certainly not something that is being discussed for the first time. It's just interesting that the Oregon Government Ethics Commission is taking it up. But I have to believe that there have been some discussions amongst journalists themselves about what does and does not constitute a journalist already.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's constantly under conversation, often at the bar, right after work, you know, who does what and why. You know, the thing is that everything's changing these days, and it's a constant source of conversation.
And so have there been any sort of discussion? I mean, is there a list from SPJ about what attributes are common to journalists?
You know, it's really hard, honestly, and this is what the ethics panel is working on. It's really hard to define because, you know, we're not special people. We don't have any freedoms that other people don't. We just pick up the phone and call more than other people. So, you know, we don't really try and define it that tightly. I mean, we do have these tenets that most of us believe in, but it's not even true across the board. I mean, we try to be independent. We're gathering information. We're disseminating it to the public, and we do our best to do that ethically and truthfully. But there's such a wide range of what constitutes journalists.
Why don't we flip this around then and ask in the first place why it even matters? I mean, if Joe the, let's say Joe the electrician, goes to the Shady Cove City Council meeting and goes back and tweets a couple things about it, doesn't necessarily make Joe a journalist, but makes them an interested person anyway. I mean, why is it even necessary for anybody to provide a definition?
You know, I had an advisor at my student paper who used to work at the Oregonian for a long time, Judson Randall, and he hated the word journalist. He would not use it. He would not let us. He said he was a newsman. And he believed that that was the most important part about the news, about getting the truth out there, about being honest and holding people accountable. And this idea of journalists seemed hoity-toity to him, and he would always remind us of that. So I always come back to that. I don't think it is. I think what we're trying to do and what bloggers and maybe people who are tweeting and even concerned citizens are trying to do is just learn things and tell people about it. So I'm not sure it's really the best thing to say, I'm a journalist, you're not.
What beat do you cover at the Columbian in Vancouver? Do you cover city council, for example?
You know, I don't, but I have done that for a long time when I was a general assignment reporter. Right now I cover a lot of neighborhood news and do a lot of feature stories. But I've certainly been to my fair share of executive sessions, city council meetings, commissioner meetings, and all those.
The executive sessions certainly seem to be a key to the need, at least, seen by the Oregon Government Ethics Commission to come up with some definitions here. So and it is different. Executive session is different in Oregon and California. What are the rules in Oregon that make it of such note here?
It's really interesting in Oregon, and this is Oregon's where I started. I'm in Washington now. We can have a member of the news media attend an executive session, and these are closed sessions that are ostensibly closed to the public, although we as reporters are the public. But they're matters of litigation, they're matters of real estate transactions. They're stuff that they really they need to talk about and not make any decisions on, but have potential legality issues. But right now in Oregon, and how it's been, and it's one of the few states to actually allow it, a member of the news media, is what it says in the law, can attend and basically observe and hold them accountable and make sure that they're not steering off topic, which I know from experience happens all the time.
And in fact, I'm aware of reporters who have stood up and said, excuse me, you are no longer discussing what the executive session was set up for. Therefore, what you're talking about now is reportable.
It's a great thing. You know, we love being able to do that because you want to. That's really what we want to do at the end of the day. We want to say, hey, listen, guys, you're going off track. And that's exactly why we're there, because we want to make sure that that happens. And a lot of these smaller governments, a lot of city councils are, you know, basically they're volunteers. And they might not be aware that they're breaking the law, but they are breaking the law. And being able to tell them that is one of the most important parts of being a journalist.
In most other states, then, executive session is just closed. I mean, nobody is in there, not even the reporters, right?
That's absolutely right. Just as in Washington, it's considered a private meeting, and therefore a reporter who's a member of the public is not allowed to attend.
And the Oregon rule is interesting in watching it be implemented, because I know it's happened a couple times when I was there, and the city attorney, in the case of the city council, would then deliver some boilerplate spiel about, please don't report the contents of this meeting.
Yes, and they read it much like a lawyer would read it.
Exactly. We're talking to Steve Stover Harger III, who's the president of the Oregon chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists, himself still a working reporter at the Columbian in Vancouver, Washington, just across the river from Portland. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange and give us your own idea. What constitutes a journalist? What constitutes news media? How do you come up with these definitions? Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Steve in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Stover Harger III.
Howdy. Two of my favorite comments about journalism are, America has a free press for anyone that can afford one, and I read it in the newspaper, so it must be true. The first one, we seem to have democratized the system by the internet, smartphones, you know, the so-called marvels of technology that we have. So everybody can't afford one. Mm-hmm. I think it's time to start concentrating on the second one. We should, you know, everybody's bitching about Snowden, about Assange, saying, oh, they've done all this terrible wrong, but nobody, as far as I know, has really stepped up to the plate and said, that's a lie. And it's about time we concentrated and started punishing people for willingly disseminating untruth, so that we know that the information we are getting is real, is actual, is out there in the universe. And start punishing people for deliberately lying to us, like old William Randolph Hearst did during the Spanish-American War, mm-hmm. a great so-called journalist or publisher
anyway,
or
yeah.
newspaper man, mm-hmm. according to some theories, but certainly a liar in many of his dealings with the American public.
Steve, have you seen the PolitiFact?
Until we can get some kind of a thing controlling this, you know, we don't have much.
Steve, have you seen the PolitiFact items that appear from time to time in various papers? They're fairly frequent in the Oregonian, for one, but they don't exactly say that you're lying or you're a liar, like you just suggested, but they will at least examine statements for veracity and sometimes come back with the pants on fire end of the meter, which is as close to calling somebody a liar as you can. Have you ever seen those?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think... We should go beyond that and punish the pants on fire people who are definitely out there just trying to disseminate false information.
All right. Thanks for that, Steve. Appreciate it. Thoughts from you, Stover?
You know, well, we do have freedom of speech, and something I believe in dearly, and I think it's a tenet of our country. And I think it's a dangerous concept to say that you are deliberately lying, so you'll be punished, because I'm not sure exactly what punish means. Does that mean you'll be filed a lawsuit? Does that mean you'll be thrown in jail? And it's really hard to prove if someone's lying deliberately or if they just made a mistake. We make mistakes all the time out of paper. We run corrections. And maybe some of those mistakes are deliberate. Hopefully they're not. But, you know, we do try and run people out of the industry if we find out they're lying. So I believe that's a punishment, at least from newspapers, radio stations, and things like that. But when you talk about bloggers, about tweeters, some of the only people who are attending city council sessions these days, now that staffings have been reduced to papers, you know, how do you punish them? I would always err on the side of not punishing people for talking about things.
Well, that's an interesting concept you just brought up, though, because I mean, the fact is that it is public bodies that want this answer from the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, it would appear, about who is and is not a journalist. I understand that Lake Oswego City Council, for one, was having some issues with what constitutes a journalist or not. But if, as you point out, the people who actually cover these meetings for quote-unquote old-line news media are few and far between now because they've had staff cuts and are off covering, well, like you do, neighborhood news, then this ends up being the public body getting to say who does and does not get to attend their executive sessions.
Yes, and when we let the people who are in the news decide what goes in the news is not where we want to go.
And how different a situation is it in the time that you've been working as a reporter to see the numbers of reporters who cover things like city council meetings? I mean, you just mentioned bloggers and tweeters are sometimes the only people there.
Yeah, you know, in our community, we're pretty lucky to have a pretty good staff, and we make sure, and our editors make sure, that we're very aware of what's happening. But I do know from working in small towns that I would always be the only one at the city council meetings, and I can only imagine if I wasn't there, there wasn't anyone there. And sometimes there's zero public at some of these meetings, and people are just talking to the wall. I'm sure there are communities where, you know, they're seeing a void, the public seeing a void and wanting to become more involved. And sometimes that leads to creating a blog about local news. And sometimes those blogs die within a month. Sometimes they go on and sometimes they begin to thrive. And who knows what we'll see in 10 years. I mean, maybe we'll see a local blog reporting on city council become the main source of news for that community.
We're talking to Stover Harger III, who is the president of the Oregon chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists, himself a reporter working at the Columbian in Vancouver, Washington. You can join us as we talk about what constitutes a journalist, something the Oregon Government Ethics Commission is mulling now and will perhaps make a decision on in a meeting in about 2 weeks. May 16th, I believe, is the date of the meeting. Let me just take a quick look here. May 16th, indeed. Join us on The Exchange if you'd like to take part in this conversation. Help us define what is and is not a journalist. 800-838-3760. Anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a phone call from Helga in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Stover Harger III.
Hi. I'd like to ask about Creative Commons. I'm just sort of concerned that whoever gets paid for the work that they do when it's Creative Commons, how does that work with, like, news aggregator sites?
You mean like when you take a photograph or something?
Oh, well, forget about photographs. Everyone just thinks they do it and submit it. No, I mean, there's the word Creative Commons under some articles.
All right, let's take it up a step.
On the Internet.
All right. Thanks.
Well, yeah. So these are things that are in the public domain. It doesn't necessarily refer to the work that we're producing, but I can tell you that the aggregating issue, as far as reporting coming from a newspaper point of view, at least, we are writing things, we're reporting things, we're spending hours and hours on them, and therefore, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars in payroll on them. We're putting them on the internet, and then maybe there are lots of blogs that will take that, disseminate it, and basically rewrite those stories and then send them out under their own name. Is this reporting, or is this just saying, here's what I heard? A lot of people are calling that reporting, but if you see those little links in those stories, you know that if it wasn't for those links in the original stories, then there would be no story on a lot of these blogs. So it is an interesting issue. Some blogs report original content, but a lot just report about what's already been reported by so-called traditional media.
Much been said about that so far, yes, where some of the, like, for example, Talking Points Memo has its own staff, but things like Daily Coast, for example, end up cribbing from a lot of other people.
And Huffington Post, one of the most read sites mm-hmm. out there, and often will just report it. And sometimes you call it a copy mill. They're just grinding the stories out to get web views.
And so how often does the Society of Professional Journalists Oregon chapter meet, and how intense are the meetings on topics like these?
You know, we're a relatively small local chapter, part of a larger regional chapter. We do our best to meet as often as we can. But, you know, essentially our job is to put on a newspaper contest, hold conferences, and kind of meet with groups and make sure that we're all kind of getting together and supporting each other. The larger chapters and the larger region and the national organization regularly does have, you know, so ethics meetings, board meetings, things like that, which are constantly ongoing around the country. And there's always dialogue about these issues. And most of the time, there's no real definitive answers. It's a lot of dialogue, and we're trying to kind of create a sense of where we are now and where we're going to go.
I was about to ask if SPJ, the Society of Professional Journalists, takes positions on things like what does and does not constitute a journalist at the national level, which would certainly put you in an interesting position because as journalists, you're not used to taking positions on things.
Yeah, we always do our best not to take a position. We're always trying to be in the middle there. You know, we do occasionally speak out about those issues, and usually we always just go to wanting to make things as free as possible and keep the information flowing. And so whatever we would define would be steered towards that.
So is there any input coming from SPJ or from working reporters or from news media organizations to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission about the consideration of what does and does not constitute a journalist?
Absolutely. You know, we've given our input, and we've said that if they need to say that someone coming that wants to cover the meeting is really not the media, and they can't just close it off completely right now at this point. And so they need to be able to tell us why a blogger who's been around, UO Matters from the University of Oregon, run by Bill Harbaugh, is an online media publication. A lot of people will call it a blog. But, you know, we call it a news organization. They're reporting on those matters, but he hasn't been allowed into executive session for Oregon University system, from what I understand. And we don't think that's really right. I mean, if we're saying that a news organization is someone who disseminates information, regularly reports on that body, and you know, is their job to, you know, get that information out there. That, to me, sounds exactly like what we do. He just doesn't have a printing press.
Well, is that what it gets down to, the equipment you have and perhaps the numbers of people who access your information? Because, I mean, frankly, somebody who attends a city council meeting and then texts 10 friends is still functioning as a reporter, whether or not you consider that person a member of the news media.
You're absolutely right, and that's where this becomes extremely tricky, and this ethics panel has a real tough road ahead of them. I don't know what they're going to be able to decide, and my guess is they're going to keep it up about the same way it is, because how do you define that? I don't think what we're doing is any more important than a 1,000 circulation newspaper. So therefore, does that mean that someone who's telling 100 friends about what they learned and doing their best to tell a true story is any less important than that 1,000-page newspaper? I mean, I'm not going to say because we own a printing press that we're more important than someone else who's getting information out there. I can be fired if I do something wrong.
Ah, it's the accountability part of things. That's mm-hmm. where it gets interesting. Let's take a call here from John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Stover Harger III from the Society of Professional Journalists Oregon chapter.
Hi. It sounds like your guest knows something about newspapers, and I mean, I take the newspaper since I was, you know, whatever, but I know newspapers are having a hard time. Like, none of my kids or my nephews, nieces, who are all grown now, none of them take the paper. So I guess my question is, you know, is that really true, that they're having a hard time? And if so, what's your kind of analysis of that angle of it? I hope that fits into what you're talking about today.
Right, so how hard a time are the newspapers having? This is where we're putting things over.
I think it does fit in, because what we're saying is newspapers are having a hard time. It's absolutely true. The ink costs are up. Paper costs are up. You know, we're fighting with this ad dollars and things like that. So as we diminish, and we are, we're trying our best to gain our footing. A lot of people are doing websites and having paywalls and trying to make money off the internet. It's not quite working yet at this level. We're going to get smaller and smaller until we try and work our way back up. So what does that mean for public bodies and people at city council meetings like we were talking about before? It means we'll have less feet on the ground. We'll be making more phone calls. We'll be trying to do things three beats at once and so forth. So newspapers are absolutely having a hard time. I mean, like you said about your family, if you see someone under a certain age and you ask them when the last time they picked up a newspaper, they'll tell you I can't even remember. But they read news all the time, so that's the difference. People still crave information. They still want information. They still want to be told the truth. And you just look at someone on their lunch break on their phone. They're probably either playing Flappy Bird or they're reading the news, some news online. So we are hurting as an industry, newspapers, just by the nature of what we do and how we've done it a certain way for so long. But we're trying to come back. But in that black hole up there of people going to meetings, I think you might see more and more people trying to step in and fill that void.
Which is part of the issue here, who is and is not a journalist there. We have a call here from Tam in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Stover Harger III.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
I'm concerned, as I listen to this conversation, that SPJ or anybody else, and I am an SPJ member, would stand still and let the Ethics Commission try to define journalism. Clearly, since we're talking about a law, it is a legislative issue, and I hope you raise that issue and raise it for me. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that, Tam. Appreciate it. So how involved is SPJ in the feedback here?
We have had a representative at the last meeting, and we're certainly giving our input, and we certainly will always side on having information out there, and we do take a stance on that. We do not want to step back and say, you guys tell us what's right. We will push as hard as we can to make sure that the news is getting out there.
All right. It won't be the last time we hear about this either, I'm sure, because it's been going on for quite some time now. As the media fragments and more people are doing what we used to do, a lot of them doing it for free, though. And as you pointed out, you can fire people at newspapers still. Stover Harger III is the president of the Oregon chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists. Stover, thank you for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
All right, take care. That'll do it for this hour of The Exchange. We'll talk to Dr. Jane Aronson in hour number 2 to talk about her book, now out in paperback, Carried in Our Hearts. That's next.